Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are one day away from the NFL draft. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic. Nick, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Nick, what are you most looking forward to about this draft, whether it be in the first round tomorrow, the quarterback position? How would you answer that question as to what you're most anticipating happening in this draft?
Yeah, I think it's going to be chaotic. I think chaos would probably be the thing I'm most looking forward to, because I think that the big question is, where are the quarterbacks going to go? No one really knows where they're going to land, but, I mean, we've all followed the draft long enough to know that teams don't wait real long if they think that a quarterback is even close to competent. So I have to think that these quarterbacks are going to go earlier than we've all sort of projected or thought, and there's possibly going to be a run on them. And I think there'll be movement. I don't think we've seen the end of that. Obviously, it's been a busy offseason, but, you know, this is a weird draft in that there's a lot of good players, but there's not a ton of, like, elite players. So, you know, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder, and everybody's kind of trying to feel each other out. So no one really kind of knows where it's going to go yet, and I think that's kind of the biggest appeal here so far.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I just it's hard for me to buy this idea of, like, one quarterback going at, like, 20 or something. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
right. Like, when the hell,
you know, or I mean, there was a quarterbackless mock yesterday from our, you know, which, like, that would be incredible. But what about, like you said, like there aren't, as I think it's in other years, there are, yeah, elite traits, a good way to put it. There are more, I guess, perceived players with just, like, you know, off the charts, measurables or skill, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Do you, I think it was Tom Pelissero said, some teams have said they only have 15 guys that would get, like, a first round grade, you know, as it compares to other classes. Do you think it's that rough?
No, I don't think it's that rough. I think it's rough at the top, though. You know, like, that's the thing. I think the top, I think I would buy that for, like, you know, if a team told me, like, we're having a hard time filling out, you know, filling out our top 15. Like, do we have 15 players here that we would consider, you know, top 10, top 15 players in any draft? I think that's kind of, you know, the top end premium. But, like, because that's, like, guys like George Karloftis get brought up a lot. Like, you know, he's the edge guy from Purdue, who's got first-round traits and first-round power and is a first-round pick. Not a flashy one, not like a sexy one that we would all look at and say, like, you know, he's going to check six boxes for a team. But, I mean, like, if you need a guy to get off the edge and bull rush, he can do it. He's going to be an NFL-quality pass rusher. And to me, that's a first-round pick. So there's a lot of steady hands in this draft, like a lot of guys who are going to be good, sound football players, and some of them that might, you know, jump over that and become something great, we don't know. But I think the trick here is that there's not, like, no Boses, there's no Chase Youngs, there's no, like, well, obviously these guys are, you know, going X, Y, and Z. There's none of that. So it's, especially at the top, and I think that's why it's gotten so kind of wild and all over the place.
So, Nick, with the Titans around here, a lot of Titans fans expecting the Titans to go either wide receiver in the first round or at the guard position as well. I mean, I guess there's a chance they could go quarterback as well, but the two guards that everybody's talking about, Zion Johnson and Kenyon Green, what do you think of those two guys? And if that's the way the Titans go at 26, which one would you prefer?
Johnson is the guy. I mean, I think he's, you know, he would be perfect, I think, for what they're looking for. I mean, because not only is he, you know, a terrific run blocker who can get underneath people and move, you know, guys, and just, he comes from a good program. He played around good linemen at Boston College. Lindstrom was an interior guy there a couple years ago who was really, really good. He was, I think, a multi-year captain. Played a bunch of spots. I think he played right tackle, left tackle, maybe both guards. I'm not sure if he played both spots. But Johnson he's legit. And I think that a lot of teams get scared with these guards. You know, I think Dane has him, like, 20th, 22nd, something like that. Like, yeah, he's a borderline top 15 guy in this draft. I mean, like, talent-wise, steadiness, really good football player. Not going to, like, you know, excite a lot of people, but maybe for a team like the Titans, I think he probably would, because he would be a guy that would check all those boxes. And then Green is, like, to me, poor man's version a little bit of Johnson, but still, you know, a first-round talent all the way. I think another guy who's played, I think, four spots. These guys have played everything but center. They move really well. that's what I think they should do. I think that's a need there, and there are two guys right there that are first-round ready guards who can come in and play and compete and help them get better up front. You know, and obviously we know how Vrabel and the Titans like to play football, and I think those guys would fit in really well.
3 years from now, Nick, you have to pick one of these quarterbacks who is going to be a success, a top half of the league starter in the NFL. If you have to, maybe you don't think any of them will be, but if you had to pick one of them, who would it be?
Yeah, if I had to pick one, it would be Willis. You know, I still think it would be, you know, I think that he's closer to being ready than people probably thought at the beginning. He was really good at the Senior Bowl, impressed a lot of people there, especially in the rain. It was such a horrible, gross week, and he was, I mean, he was really, really calm. He did a lot of stuff that, frankly, Liberty didn't ask him to do. There's still questions there, though, right? Like, there's a lot of sample size, everything else, and that's the trick. I wouldn't feel comfortable with just about anybody else. I think Pickett is the easiest, like, to get you from point A to point B right now, but I don't know, you know, if there's much of a ceiling beyond that. I think Willis is the guy that you look at and say, he's the guy that could really maybe turn into something big time. Ridder would be the maybe second in that conversation. I would go Willis, Ridder, and then maybe Pickett.
Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Nick, it feels like, especially lately, at wide receiver, guys coming out of college are maybe more ready to play in the NFL now than ever before, and they're deeper in terms of the draft. I mean, we're talking about guys that maybe the Titans could find in the third and fourth rounds at wide receiver. How deep do you think this draft is at wide receiver, and is this going to be the trend moving forward, do you think, with college football and just the receivers, the trend being what it has been lately, that the more and more drafts that come along here, the more and more you're going to be able to find wide receivers that can play and play immediately deeper in the draft?
Absolutely. I think it's a trend that's happening now, and it's been happening. I think that, you know, people are starting to catch on now, but you guys know, I mean, Joe, shoot, like, how many guys do you see nowadays that come through college that show up, you know, in SEC programs as freshmen, as receivers that are ready to go, like, compared to 10 years ago? It is crazy the number that is higher now. You know, football has changed. It's, you know, the modern game has changed the job, I think, in some ways for receivers and specialization and everything else for younger kids. They just, they're more ready. Like you said, they're more ready. They know how to get open. They know they have more understanding of route nuance. They take better care of their bodies. So when these guys come out, you know, a lot of them come out as juniors. Some of them wait, whatever. But like you said, I mean, every single year there are 40 guys or more that you're like, you can sit there into the third, fourth, maybe even fifth round and get a really good football player. And I think receiver is going to be one of those spots. We've already seen it a little bit, you know, in recent with Debo, you know, requesting a trade, and the Niners kind of looking at him being like, no, we're good. No one's paying you because we'll just get younger if we want. I mean, like, that's going to happen, I think, at that position. I think people are a little, not as much maybe as we saw with running back, because there's still going to be elite premium guys that come out that you're like, whoa, you know, but I think teams are going to wait. I think you see teams doing that, and I think it's smart to do because, like you said, these guys, they come out, they're ready at 18. So it stands to reason they're going to be more ready at 22. And I think we've seen that a lot, especially, you know, you guys know, guys that you follow college football, you see it. They're more ready earlier at that position. And I think it's trickling into the NFL now.
So, Nick, you saw a lot of Aiden Hutchinson up close. And it's very, very interesting. I guess there's like three guys the Jags may take, number one, which sounds very Jags-like. But Hutchinson and Thibodeau, how would you compare them, and who do you think ends up with the better career?
Oh, God, it's so tough. Like, they're different players, and they're similar at the same time. I think they're both going to be good. Thibodeau's a better pass rusher, and I think he's probably always going to be the better pass rusher. He's the best pass rusher in this class in terms of, you know, a guy with an actual move set. You know, he can go pretty deep there. He has counters. He has all the twitch and, you know, the freaky stuff, the long arms. There are questions with Kayvon, for me, you know, with run defense more than anything else. I mean, the off-the-field stuff is, I think it's a little overblown there. But run defense, you know, is he going to be able to hold up? Will he be able to add a little more strength there and do the things that you think he should be able to hold up with? Hutchinson, to me, is probably the more complete player with maybe not as high a ceiling, but maybe the higher floor, if that makes any sense, if you're really getting into the weeds with it. So it's hard. I think Hutchinson has the opportunity to probably do it better for longer, whereas maybe I could see Kayvon having a couple, like, better years, but maybe not as long. Because I think Aiden can do more. I just think there's more that he does, and maybe not at an elite level, but there's more that he'll do that checks boxes. And then Trayvon Walker, I think the intrigue with him is that he could be the best of any of the three because he has more than any of them, but we haven't seen it yet. It's just, it's all traits. It's all, you know, his best pass rush stuff at Georgia was from the inside as a three technique. We haven't seen him really develop moves and stand outside and be a guy that, you know, gets the full, I mean, because look, I mean, he's rotating with eight other NFL players up there too at Georgia. I mean, we haven't seen, you know, the full, what's it going to look like. So it's really tricky, but I think all of them are really good players and they're all going to have good careers. But I think Hutchinson's the most ready right now to answer the most questions that an NFL team would need to answer on the edge.
Well, Nick, we're finally almost there. We'll get this thing rolling tomorrow night in the first round of the NFL draft, and really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Awesome, guys. Take care, Jay. Joe, take care of my Hilltoppers down there, okay?
Oh, I will. Now, listen, real quick before you go, I want to know what emotion this stirs in you. A mighty team that will not yield.
Oh, God.
No, you've heard that song so many times.
My favorite was when, like, there was one game this year where it's like 45-0, they score, and they played the song. Anyway, yeah.
Ah, yes. It's basically our theme song.
Yeah. Beautiful. Just
one day, they'll get there.
That's right.
Can't wait for Hard Knocks this year. Nick, appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, buddy.
Nick Bumgarner from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the draft on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Joe's singing voice as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night and Friday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can come enjoy great drink specials and watch the Preds take on the Colorado Avalanche on Thursday in a potential first-round preview, and the Arizona Coyotes on Friday. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 8 o'clock tomorrow and at 9:30 on Friday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Tyler texting in says, I would rather listen to Joe sing than watch Dave Riddick play goalie. That's coming from Tyler on the text line. Yikes.
What about both, though? What about both? What if, you know, what if I can, like, sing, you know, the big rebound, Dave Riddick, you know, something like that. Opera man. You may be watching a lot of Dave Riddick play goal. You never know.
Maybe watching a lot of Joe Rex Road singing at some point, too. Never know about that either.
The world needs more of it. And by the way, speaking of music, Psychedelic Furs, Michelle. Boom. Great, great call. Great call.
To be honest, I just clicked the button. And as soon as I saw you vibing to it, when I when I saw your Zoom pop up and I was playing the music, I was like, I, in my head, I'm making a prediction that Joe will make a comment that he likes this song. So good. I'm glad I could help.
Nailed it.
Everybody should love the Psychedelic Furs.
Caleb on the text line says, I'm totally sold on drafting Ritter and having him for the future after Tannehill. We can get a solid guard or wide receiver in the third and fourth rounds. This 100% will not happen, though. This is coming from Caleb on the text line.
What percentage of the Titans fan base would be happy, would be thumbs up if they drafted a quarterback?
I don't know. I think less than 50%.
Oh, I think way less than 50%.
Because I think maybe 50% or more want a different quarterback. I don't know. I don't know how to gauge that with Titans fans. But I think a combination of a couple of things. Number one, I don't care who you draft. They're not playing this year. So that doesn't help this team. Number two, I don't think people are very excited about these quarterbacks either. So I think it's significantly less than 50% the more I spell it out and think about it.
Well, you know, so I forget whose mock it was. Someone's mock came out yesterday and had zero. Oh, it was Bucky Brooks. And Bucky, you know, Bucky Brooks plugged in. He's a good NFL journalist. He had a mock with zero quarterbacks taken.
Interesting. So,
I will say this. Let's say that plays out and you got to 26. And let's say you can't get out of 26. Okay. You can't get out of 26. No one wants to move up to get a quarterback. All the receivers you would want that are first round receivers are gone. Both guards that you would want who are first round guards are gone. I would think about Malik Willis. Like, if I was the Titans and it was the zero quarterback draft, yes, you would be, I mean, you would be, you'd be punting on an instant contributor. But also, if that scenario played out where the receivers that are legit first rounders are gone, the guards are gone, throw in tackle too. You know, if you want to placate Jared, you know, the first round tackles are gone. So you're either going to reach for a player there, and look, you can reach for a player and still get an instant contributor. So I understand it, but maybe that is the time to say, you know what, this kid has a high ceiling. This kid, I think most people agree that Malik Willis has the highest ceiling. Doesn't mean he'll reach it. Doesn't mean he'll get close, but that he has the highest potential. That would be interesting. And by the way, he has taken a visit. Per John Glennon, had like 18 of the 30 visits he wrote for SI.com the other day. He is one of those guys. I'm just saying.
There you go. All right, we got a lot of text to roll through. Brad on the text line says, with regard to receivers being more prepared and ready to play, I think this will be the norm for quite some time. Early in player development, we're seeing players become specialized and only play and train for a single position like receiver. As a result, they know that position very well at an early age. In years past, players played multiple positions and did not really hone in on a specific position until later in high school. That's not the case anymore. In many situations, players are not playing both ways, and they're not playing multiple positions. This coming from Brad on the text line.
Yeah. Okay. I can buy that.
Yeah. Indy Ben on the text line says, Titans need to stop messing around and solve their revolving door at kicker with Cade York in round one. That's my unbiased pick for them tomorrow. Be better to be safe than sorry with your first rounder this year, J-Rob. No agenda whatsoever. I want what's best for them in order to compete with the division favorites residing in Indy. Very well done from Indy Ben there on the text line.
I love it. It's funny that you brought up Cade York. I don't want to have any spoilers, but I think Cade York at some point, in all seriousness, is a name the Titans should be talking about in the building. But right. I think they're not the only team. I think Cade York is special.
Could they be like Roberto Aguayo and goes in the second round?
You know, think about that. Like, you blew it to that extent with that pick, and still you've got a ring and total job security.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Thank you, Pharaoh.
By the way, Tyler texting in, talking about your singing ability, says, no, we get real singers like Scott Stapp for the playoffs. Trent text again, says, you said the quarterback wouldn't start this year. What about if Tannehill gets injured? I mean, yeah, you could always play the injury game. But if Ryan Tannehill's healthy, it doesn't matter who they're picking at quarterback this year. He's not starting. At least I don't think so.
Right. No, I mean, well, if Tannehill struggles, then the noise will build. But it would take a lot. It would take a lot for a rookie to unseat him. Matt from Cannon, what do y'all think about the reason Tannehill missed voluntary OTAs? Because he's wanting a new contract. That's from our show, Matt. What, do you think you're getting that from some other place and bringing it to us? That was speculated wildly on our show yesterday.
That's right.
Thank you, Charles Robinson. And we talked about it a lot. And I don't think, to long story very short, I don't think that's why. But I think Charles brings up a very reasoned point about how a quarterback would look at things right now in the NFL and the market. And Tannehill's deal, even last year until it got, you know, really even last year until the very end, how many times do we talk about him being on a bargain deal?
Yeah. A lot.
A lot.
Dennis on the text line says, you should have dedicated the entire show to talking about Ja Morant's dunk. Could have broken it down from every single angle. The pulling it all the way back, it wasn't windmill style, but pulling it all the way back and just chucking that thing down, pretty awesome from Ja last night. We talked about that earlier in the show, but that was sick, as the kids say.
It was
super sick.
It was dope.
Oh, gosh.
Another texter says it was fresh. Another texter says, it doesn't matter who the Titans draft, this is Ja's world, and we're all just living in it. I mean, it was an incredible night for Ja and the Grizzlies, and really sports in the state. Those two games going on at once. Pretty cool.
I got a texter that says, we must have a quarterback on a rookie deal. It's the only way to afford Simmons, A.J. Fulton, and free agents over the next 2 to 5 years. Plus, in this offense, the quarterback is asked to do less than anywhere else. They only throw it 17 to 25 times a game. This coming from a texter on the text line.
Yeah, but it doesn't look. I'm not saying it's not ideal to have a QB on a rookie deal and it can help you do other things, but you know, you have to have a good QB on a rookie deal, you know, and that's where it's just going to be fascinating Thursday, because take this beyond the Titans, take this to everybody. I automatically just assume, yep, run on quarterbacks. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And if you can get a starter on that, start that clock. We've seen teams go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl because of that, right? Or that's a help. But if the quarterbacks aren't good enough for that, if they're not actually going to be, you know, top tier potential quarterbacks for you as starters, then why would you spend the pick on them? It's a really fascinating thing that we're going to see Thursday, and I could see it going either way.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Drake Hills from the Tennessee, and we'll get his thoughts on Nashville SC as they're set to open up Geodis Park coming up this Sunday, May the 1st. That's coming up with Drake on the other side. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Check us out on 106.3 FM from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You can now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators as well. Check out 106.3 now and save it. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Drake Hills from the Tennessee, and who covers Nashville SC. Drake, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. We're a couple of days out, and the work is still killing me, but we're looking forward to a fresh and shiny new stadium on Sunday.
I don't think there's any question about that, Drake. So let's just start there. Obviously, lots of anticipation and build up looking ahead to this game coming up on Sunday at Geodis Park. What do you think the environment's going to be like from your experience looking at the new stadium? What do you think of the stadium, and what overall are you expecting coming up on Sunday?
Well, first and foremost, personally, it's just going to be almost it's what I came here for, right? To cover a blossoming Major League Soccer club, to cover soccer at the highest tier in the U.S., and to see it at its full growth, right? We've been getting bits and pieces. You know, we first got the club, and then we got, you know, actually, I don't know, a winning team actually playing games, and then, you know, we saw the bits and pieces of the stadium as it came at the end of last season. And now here we are, you know, eight games into the season, you know, Nashville is going to finally open what we've all been writing about and covering and talking about for the past 2.5 years. So, and personally, I'm definitely grateful just to be a part of it and to cover it and lead the charge on informing Nashville on what's going on, the latest venue, not just for soccer, but, you know, this is going to be, you know, an opportunity for maybe even some high school soccer, some football, maybe some concerts. Like, it's going to be a big player in the Nashville space. But then also just looking at it from what it means to the team itself, and that this is an opportunity to really grow the game in a way that puts soccer on the map in Tennessee in a way that it never has. And if you take a look at some of the fans that have been following this team since 2017, or excuse me, even before that, 2014, when they were Nashville FC Football Club and they were playing in the National Premier Soccer League. Well, that's basically fourth tier soccer in America, and they're, you know, playing at Vanderbilt on West End, and then they moved to First Horizon Park and the United Soccer League a few years later, and then here they are in Major League Soccer, playing in their own Soccer Pacific Stadium, which will tie Toronto for being the largest. So it's a long time coming.
Yeah, and it looks like such an awesome facility, Drake. I'm wondering how you would compare it to some of the other venues around MLS. And also, obviously, this has been such a big push, and you understand why when you see a place like this and what it's going to mean. What do you think just that trend does mean for MLS to have places like this where people can gather and it's their own place?
You know, it's it's vital, because when you take a look at how the way that soccer has grown in the past few years, you really see a big takeoff. Aside from an outlier like Atlanta United, if you go across the United States, a lot of these teams, you take a look at Portland Timbers, they basically made a soccer stadium out of an old baseball stadium up there in Northwest Portland. But also look at Austin FC. Look at how, Columbus Crew, basically in an MLS original, built a new stadium and what that does for Columbus, Ohio. Look at Cincinnati up the road, just about 4 hours, and what that means for them to play in a stadium. They were playing the University of Cincinnati's, college football stadium. And the team is a little bit of a struggle, but the fan base has been woken up by this new stadium at TQL. So I think for Nashville, it means a little bit more, though, just based off of the demographic, based off of, where the sport is in the South. This truly will be the soccer cathedral for the South and the litmus test for the sport in the region.
Drake Hill's from the Tennessee and on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Drake, obviously, with the park opening up on Sunday, you had to start off the season on the road if you're Nashville SC, and they played their first eight games on the road, 3 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws. What do you make of that road trip and the way that they played leading into this game and what's going to be a big celebration coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is that Nashville – was in a position that really it was going to be tough to even pick up a couple of wins if you take a look at it on paper ahead of the season. And Gary Smith, the coach, said towards the beginning of the trip, he said, if we get 8 points out of 8 games, so essentially averaging a tie out of the first 8 games, then he quote unquote will be dancing. So you got to get your groove on now, because they did a little bit more than that, and they've got the wins that they pulled out. Some top tier teams on the schedule. They had to go to Seattle Sounders the first game of the season. That's a 2-time MLS Cup champion, and then you go and you get wins, a comeback win in Sporting Kansas City, a team that has made the playoffs in 10 of the last 13 years, and has been a team that's won MLS Cup, U.S. Open Cup. It's a very tough place to play, a soccer-specific stadium of their own. You go to Columbus Crew. At that point in time, earlier this month, was one of, if not the best offensive team in the Eastern Conference. So you're getting wins against these teams. And then, of course, having to travel over 18,000 miles in total just to play those 18 games. So it's a grueling schedule, and the fact that they got 11 points, it really puts them in the position where if you can average, let's say, basically a win every 2 games, and average about a point and a half per game, then that really does put you in a chance to not only make the playoffs in the Western Conference this year, but have a chance at going into the top four and hosting MLS Cup playoffs. So, and that's what you want for Nashville SC and for Geodis Park.
Yeah, so based on what you've seen, Drake, do you feel more or less the same in terms of this team's chances of, going after a championship this year?
Well, I will go and actually take a look at the U.S. Open Cup. I think the U.S. Open Cup, which, Nashville will host Atlanta United just about 10 days after they open the stadium. So, I mean, that's May 11th. It'll be a midweek game at Geodis Park. I think that is the opportunity for Nashville to earn some silverware this year. If you take a look at the tournament, it's a tournament that includes every single American professional soccer team. Right now it's in the round of 32. A couple of years ago when Nashville was still playing at what used to be First Tennessee Park, they made the round of 16, so essentially the quarterfinal stage, the round before the quarterfinal stage in 2018. So this team has some history in getting deep into the tournament that starts with 103 teams. So I think that is the chance with this type of squad. It has depth. The midfield has about 4, maybe even 5 starting players, in the midfield. And then you can go across the entire roster and find a second first team that can play in this tournament. And that is the chance to win some silverware. And I think if you line that up with opening a new soccer stadium, that's what you want in terms of growing your brand, growing the club, and the fan base.
Drake, last thing for you here. Obviously, some news yesterday on the Nashville SC front with Reese Witherspoon and her husband, and, of course, Titans running back Derrick Henry joining the group as a minority owner. What do you think of that, and what sort of message does that send about Major League Soccer here in Nashville and specifically this group and what Nashville SC is trying to build?
Absolutely. I believe that, you know, Nashville over the past couple of years, they've shown that they're not just going to be just present in the Nashville space. I think they've earned the respect of Nashville, knowing that, you know, we're here to win. We're here to be a productive piece of what Nashville is doing, growing at a rapid rate, expanding its portfolio and its brand. And that's, it's done so in the soccer space. You know, Nashville over the past couple of years on the field has earned the respect of a lot of teams in the league. And of course, nationally, having, you know, Hani Mukhtar, you know, finishing second in the MVP voting last year. You know, last year at Nissan Stadium in the regular season, they didn't lose a game. They went unbeaten. So things like that, I think, really perked the ears and opened the eyes and the ears of a lot of, you know, people here. And I would assume Reese Witherspoon and Derrick Henry and Tim Hoff were one of those and a few of those. So I think it lines up with a lot of the other MLS clubs, Mark Ingram, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Russell Wilson, a lot of guys in the NFL who are taking ownership of separate MLS clubs and soccer clubs in general. And so it seems like Nashville is right on that path to success.
Drake Hills from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road does an outstanding job covering Nashville SC for the Tennessean. Drake, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning and have fun this weekend. Should be an awesome environment at Geodis Park.
Yeah, right. Sellout crowd, 30,000 at Geodis Park. Looking forward to it and hoping to get a chance to see you guys.
Absolutely. We appreciate you, my man.
Thanks.
All right. Drake. Thank you.
Drake Hill's our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on Nashville SD on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Guys, I'm excited for this one. Where do we want to start, sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
Okay, we're going to go sports. Oh, in honor of the NBA playoffs, I obviously couldn't do a sports question without talking a little bit of basketball. We've seen two young stars kind of emerge, Ja Morant and Jason Tatum. It is game 7 of a series. Who do you want taking your buzzer-beating shot?
Between those two?
Between those two.
That's a tough one. I'll probably go... Man, that's tough. I'll probably give a slight edge to Jason Tatum. Very slight.
Same. Tatum for a final shot.
Yeah.
I'll take Ja Morant as the player. Like, if I'm starting a team, I'll take Ja Morant. But for one shot, I'll take Tatum.
Okay, well, it looks like all three of us have the same answer. But, Joe, same reason. I think Ja, as far as for an entire game, but, I mean, I just think of that shot he had in that first game. Pretty incredible. He's really emerging as a star this series. Okay, my favorite question that I came up with for non-sports. In honor of our basketball game the other day, you need to have a starting five of people who work at our station. So if you guys want a minute to think, I can tell you who my starting five is.
Okay.
Okay. At the point guard position, we have got Joe Rexbrode. Steph Curry. Little Magic Johnson. At the two, we got Willie Donick. Willie Donick's at my two. Three, this one was hard for me. Robbie, I put you at the three.
Okay.
At the four, I have Elijah Campbell. And then at the five, I just need his arms up in the paint, Chase McCabe. We need a little size in there.
So that's I really liked your team for a minute.
I'm waiting till I get better on ball handling skills to put myself in the lineup.
Jared did make Michelle's top five?
He did not.
Rex Road, your starting five.
So I've got the same, you know, my typical lack of humility, the same one, two, three. I will definitely run the show. Thank you. Tragic Johnson will be my nickname.
Yes.
But so I'm going to give a nod to Michelle's lesser half. I'm going Ryan from Chicago as a beefy foreman in there. As in, you know, the guy's got the gun show. You know, I'm pushing people around, and then Elijah's my five. I mean, I'm going to him in the post. So that team, all due respect to your team, will beat the crap out of your team with Chase McCabe on the floor. I'm sorry.
I want to see.
I know he could like fire us, but I mean, I'm sorry.
I want to see a little Elijah Chase action.
No, we don't want to see this.
Yes, we do. All right, I'll go Joe at the one. I'll go me at the two. I'll go Willie at three. Give Willie kind of that wing. He can come in off the wing. You know, Willie's got some size. Willie's much better than us, I would assume.
Well, he didn't show up to the game, so we don't know.
He did not. Well, he did play college basketball at Vanderbilt, so I'm going to assume that he is much better than we are. At four, I will go with Darren McFarland.
Ooh.
A healthy Darren McFarland. Get some size at the four. And then at five, I'm going Elijah because he would work some fools. So that's my starting five.
Are we forgetting anyone?
Jared.
Jared could do the laundry.
Max Hurts. We haven't seen him play, so we don't know.
Yeah. Well, my opinion is not formed. I haven't seen him.
I gave Max crap last night for not showing up. He was in Pittsburgh, but that's still no excuse.
That's no excuse.
Listen,
whatsoever.
We'll have more games, and we'll get to evaluate everybody's skills and revisit this question. Okay, back to sports in honor of the NFL draft tomorrow. You are John Robinson. You're on the clock. Who are you picking at number 26?
Okay, so if it's an ideal situation for me, Joe, and let's just say – they have a receiver that you love there. They have the guard that you love is there. If that receiver's Treylon Burks, that's my pick. I'm going Treylon Burks at number 26 overall. It really depends on who you ask. Some people think you'll be there. Some people think you won't be. But if Treylon Burks is there, that's my pick at number 26.
It's amazing you said that because that's exactly what I was going to say is that is the guy who I think really makes it interesting. And Steve Lehman and I were talking about this last night at the Preds game. You know, most like the other receivers that are first round receivers, I think are going to be gone. I don't know if both of those guards will be there, you know, but let's say one of them is let's say Zion Johnson does go earlier. And it seems like a lot of people like him better, a little bit better than Kenyon Green. And it's Kenyon Green or Treylon Burks. That is so tough. And honestly, I think I'd probably go Green, but I would be very tempted with Burks. I think Burks could be really special. And I just think, you know, he may not have run a great 40. Watch him play. He's fast. He has the skills to be really good. So that's him being available is what I find to be fascinating if that plays out that way Thursday.
By the way, really quickly, can I just say how stupid we all are for not having Derek Mason in our starting five?
Yeah, we all suck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll take myself out. I'll be the sixth man. Derek Mason could be the two.
Well, we got a good – that's a good crew. And then, you know, Michelle, you know, coming off the bench, hitting some jump shots, you know. Yep.
Thank you, guys.
It's a nice, yeah, you got to have depth.
We also forgot Junie. He's quite the shooter. So, but yeah, D-Mace definitely in all of our starting fives. I'm pretty much same way with you guys for the draft. I mean, if you have a receiver at his caliber at that position, I feel like you kind of have to go that way. But then also, if Zion Johnson's there, there's a lot of different ways. I think I'm going to go with Zion Johnson, though, if just because of the depth in the receiver class. But, yeah, it's a hard one. It's a hard one for sure.
Cool.
And then, finally, we are drafting a barbecue, okay? So you have three choices, hot dog, cheeseburger, or grilled chicken. Who's your first, second, and third? Or what is your first, second, and third?
Okay, real quick correction. There's going to be some people who jump on you. That you just described a cookout. You did not describe
a cookout. Sorry. Cookout. That's what I meant. Rawr, Joe.
Yeah.
Get Joe is like, do right not mess up the food, Michelle. Sorry. A cookout.
So Captain, I just. Captain what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, Captain Foodie, would you like to kick us off on this one?
So again, so I want to make sure it's hot dog. It's a standard hot dog.
With ketchup.
Hamburger. Yeah. Well, then it's, then I'm stepping on it and I'm going to invite Quinn to come over and take a pee on it. If it's a brat, it's close for me, but if not, then I'm definitely going to go with the burger.
So the burger's one, chicken's two?
Yes. Yeah. Burger. Okay. I mean, I love some good barbecue chicken for sure. Yeah, burger, chicken, hot dog. If it's a brat, a really good beer brat that you boiled in the beer for a long time, I think that's my number one.
Either way, I'm going cheeseburger one, grilled chicken two, and hot dog / brat number three.
Oh, okay. We're all
run away.
We are all different on this one. I'm going hot dog, cheeseburger, and then barbecue chicken. Okay. Hot dog by far number one for me.
Well, you've triggered me now because Porth sent us this stupid picture of him with an awesome brat loaded with ketchup. And I said, like, this is food murder, what you're doing here. This is food murder.
It did look like the plate of a six-year-old, but yeah.
But right. I'm not saying a brat. I'm just saying a normal hot dog.
I know you are. It's just you got me triggered. I'm sorry. Stop it, Porth. Disgust me.
I got a texture that said, Jared would make a great equipment manager. Hey, maybe on that starting five, that's what he could do. Jared could hit some shots.
Jared could be like the
he could be our GM,
the minister of misinformation for the team.
Maybe so. This has been The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.